Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Hey, next week is Easter. Come on, anybody excited to celebrate? Come on, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know I am. You know, a lot of churches are celebrating Palm Sunday today and probably have a specific message for that. We're going to continue and actually close out our Dream Again series today. And next week, we're going to start a new series on Easter entitled, It's All About Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So I'm excited to do that. But right before I get into today's message, I just want to highlight a couple of things for you, one of which is next week. There's a couple ways that you can get involved, for Easter here at Canvas Church, and a couple of opportunities to invite people. You know, every Sunday is a good Sunday to invite somebody to church. Did you know that? Every day is actually a good day to live your life for Jesus and be an example so that others' interest is piqued. But next week, people's interest is going to be piqued because it's Easter. And so people are going to have questions. People are going to be wondering what it's all about. People that don't normally come to church are going to come to church. And it's a great opportunity to help people get connected to the church. And so we thought through the weekend, and we thought, let's just expose people to who Canvas Church is and help them take a step forward in their faith. And so this Easter, we're doing something different that we've never done before. This Easter, we're actually having Good Friday small groups. Now, many of you have probably been to a Good Friday service before. We've done Good Friday services. But we thought, you know what, let's connect people to Good Friday small groups so they can experience a small group at Canvas Church. So I want to invite you into that. Now, you might be sitting here and you might be a part of Canvas Church thinking, I'm not connected to a small group. Can I still participate? Yes, you can, all right? If you have never been to a small group at Canvas Church, we want this to be your first. Okay, and so it's real easy. All you have to do is text the word Good Friday to 858-943-2221. And what you're going to get is you're going to get a list back of all of the small groups that are hosting a Good Friday small group. And we would love for you to sign up for one, get plugged in. Here, we're going to, from 6:30 to 8:30, we're going to share a meal together, and we're just going to share life with one another and talk about the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's going to be a great time. So I'd love for you to connect to one of those, even if you have to drive a little ways to get connected, all right? You had to drive to church this morning. You'd have to drive to a Good Friday service. Instead, why don't you drive to a Good Friday small group? Also, we have a couple of touch cards out at the Info Center. We have our You Got Blessed one, and there's some information about that on the back, how to use that one. But then we have our Canvas Church one, and it has our service times on the back. I would love for you to take this opportunity where it's a natural time where people are interested in growing anyway and looking, that you would take that card and that you would personally invite someone to our services next week. Cool? Can we do that, church? Can we just take that opportunity and make that happen? Just nod your head yes. Awesome. Okay, well, we'll see you next week. Easter's going to be awesome, and we're going to have a good time starting our new series. But today, we want to conclude our series, Dream Again. We've been in the same passage for 12 weeks, and I want to read you this one statement now that we started this whole entire series off with. And as we bring it to a close today, I want to read it to you. And it says this, and it's in your, if you want to download the app, all the notes are right there. It's in your notes. It says, dreams. We all have them. Growing up, we had a million of them a minute. Million of them a minute. What we would become, what we would do for a career, who we would marry. The problem is that life is messy, oftentimes painful, and not all dreams come true. There's obstacles in pursuing the dreams that God has for life, for our life. There's obstacles. There's things that get in the way. Now, here's the thing we've been doing. We must learn to navigate through the messes and painful moments of life so that we can continue to dream and ultimately obtain the dreams God is giving us. Are you with me? And so it's been my hope over the last 12 weeks, and even as we conclude today, that along this journey, as we've been going through this passage together, that you would grab some insights, that you would grab some tools, that you would grab some things from Scripture that you could apply to your life so that when you hit some difficult seasons of pursuing the things that God has for you, that you'd be ultimately able to overcome those, dream again, and obtain the dreams that God has for your life. And so I want to conclude today's message with one more that we discover from this incredible woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, where we've been camped out for the last 12 weeks on these 29 verses. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 8 once again, and we're going to learn something from this woman about dreaming again and obtaining the dreams that God has for us. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it reads, One day, Elisha, if you've been on this series with us, you know by now, Elisha is the prophet. He's the man of God of that time. He is the one that gets messages from God, delivers them to people, delivers them to the nation. But he's also, in type, carries the presence of God on his life, that miracles are literally happening through him. He carries this mantle on him. Wherever he goes, it's like the presence of God is there. And it says, one day, that guy, Elisha, went to Shunem. A prominent woman, who we simply know as the Shunammite woman, lived there, persuaded him to eat some food. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. Verse 9, then she said to her husband, I know that the one who often passes by here is a holy man of God. So let's make a small room upstairs and put a bed, a table, and a chair and a lamp there for him. Whenever he comes, he can stay there. Verse 11, one day he came there and stopped and went to the room upstairs to lie down. Now I want you to notice what takes place here. This woman, the Shunammite woman, recognizes that the presence of God is on him. And that she's literally after that. She was no longer satisfied just with him regularly passing by, stopping in for a meal and leaving. She decides to do something. She decides to build a place for him to inhabit, for him to dwell in. And he does. And he's there now. I want you to know something. We've learned something in this series, and that is this, is that we can never make God move in our life, but we can make room for God to move in our life. We can never do enough to get God's attention and say, God, would you do this for me? And God, could you do this now? God is not some magical wand, nor is his son Jesus, that we can just, you know, wield around and hopefully something happens, okay? No, but what we can do is we can do what this woman does. We can take the resources we have, we can take who we are, and we can build a place for God's presence to come in and inhabit. Are you with me today? And so she does that. She builds a place for him. And one day, verse 11, he came there and he stopped and went to the room upstairs to lie down. He ordered his attendant, his staff member, Gehazi, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her and she stopped before him. Then he said to Gehazi, say to her, look, you've gone to all this trouble for us. What can we do for you? I want you to notice this. Look at what she does. She is not after anything from him. She is just after the presence of God. And because she's so hungry for the presence of God, and because she's so after the presence of God, she builds this place for the man to come and inhabit. I want you to know something. As we continue to go after God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we continue to create spaces and places in our life for him to come and inhabit, don't be shocked when all of a sudden he says, I want to do something for you now. Are you with me? And so here he is, and he's asking what we can do for you. Verse 13, Gehazi said to her, look, you've gone to all this trouble for us. What can we do for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I'm living among my own people. In other words, she says, I'm fine. I don't need anything. I wasn't looking for anything. I just wanted you to be here. She said, I live among my own people. So we asked them, what should be done for her? So Gehazi, Elisha's staff member, said, well, she has no son and her husband is old. Okay, what is so important about that sentence right there? What's so important about that sentence is this, is that in that time, as a woman, she may have had other children, we don't know, but she had no son. And in that day, if you had no son, it meant that after your husband dies, you had no one to care for you, take care of you, carry on the family business, the heritage, and protect you. And so every woman of that day wanted to have a son so that they would have a man in the house that would then take care of them and protect them. And we see here she doesn't have one. Gehazi and Elisha notice this, so they do something about it. What can be done, Gehazi? Well, she has no son, and her husband is old. In other words, it ain't going to happen. Call her, Elisha said. So Gehazi called her, and she stood in the doorway. She stood in the doorway. How many of you guys love that song we sang at the end? Come on, do you guys know that our worship team wrote that song, Standing in the Doorway? Man, powerful song. And I love that. Come on, you can give the worship team a better hand than that. Come on, they're sitting here. Man, it's awesome because now I'm hearing so many great testimonies of what God's doing in our life through this series. And I want you to know something. Even though the series concludes today, this is more than a series. This is a word from God for our church, and we're going to continue to dream again. Whether it's for your marriage, whether it's for your children, whether it's for your finances, whether it's for a ministry, whatever it is, I believe God wants you to continue to dream great dreams for Him. Are you with me today? Now listen, when we talk about dreams, we're not just talking about some pipe dream. We're not just talking about you thinking, man, this sounds really cool. I really want that to happen in my life. And all of a sudden, you just going after that. We're talking about building a place, building moments where we entreat the presence of God and we're connecting with God. And God comes in those moments and says, son, daughter, here's the plan that I have for your life. Here's what I want you to go after. We're not just talking about a pipe dream. We're talking about the plans and the dreams of God. Are you with me today? And I love it because our worship team, here they are, and they're getting together and they're practicing so diligently. But listen to me, they're not just getting away and practicing. They're getting away and worshiping. And as they begin to just sit in a house and begin to worship together, all of a sudden the presence of God shows up and begins to give them this song that we now get to worship Jesus to. Isn't that cool? Why are they doing that? Because they want to invite you in to the place that they created. And as they do that, I believe, man, we're connecting with God and we're hearing Him and standing in the doorway. Elisha said, verse 16, at this time next year, you will have a son in your arms. And then she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not deceive your servant. And here we discover the whole premise of our series, this Dream Again series. Here is this woman. Obviously, it was something she had tucked away. It was something that one point in her life she had believed for. She had believed for a son, but it never happened. And so she wrote it off and she put it to the side. She said, it's never going to happen. But now because she built a place for God's presence to come, now God begins to touch on the one area that she really desperately wanted, that she had written off. And now the man of God says, hey, it's time to dream again. It's time to dream again. She says, no, man of God, don't lie to me. Do not deceive your servant. Verse 17, the woman conceived and gave birth to the son, to that son at the same time the following year. Listen to it now. As Elisha had promised her. It came to pass as Elisha had promised her. Do you know that the Bible, you might not know this, but the Bible says that all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. That every promise, you say, Ben, what are the promises of God? They're written right here. 66 different books of the Bible, broken up in the Old Testament and the New Testament, from front cover to back cover, they're the promises of God. And do you know that every promise of God will come to pass and can come to pass in your life? All the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. And here it is, just as Elisha, the man of God, said, it happened. Verse 18, the child grew and one day went out to his father. We don't know how old the child is, but he's old enough now to make some decisions. And he decides to go out to where his father's at. And suddenly, verse 19, he complained to his father, said, my head, my head. His father told the servant, carry him to his mother. And so he picked him up and took him to his mother. The child sat on mom's lap until noon and then died. And then she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut him in and left. She took the dream, the promise, back to the place where it originated. She summoned her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys and so I can hurry to the man of God, then come back. But he said, why go to him today? It's not that time. It's not new moon or the Sabbath. She replied, everything is all right. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, hurry, do not slow the pace for me unless I tell you. So she set out and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And when the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to his attendant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite woman. Run out, meet her, and ask, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your son all right? And she answered, everything is all right. And when she came up to the man of God at the mountain, she clung to his feet. Gehazi, the staff member, came to push her away. But the man of God said, no, leave her alone. She is in severe anguish, and the Lord has hidden it from me. He hasn't told me. I want you to highlight that. either physically highlight in your Bible or in your digital Bible or just in your mind, that the Lord has hidden it from me. And then she said, did I ask my Lord for a son? I didn't ask for this. Didn't I say, do not deceive me? So Elisha said to his staff member, Gehazi, tuck your mantle under your belt and take my staff with you and go. If you meet anyone, don't stop to greet him. And if any man greets you, don't answer him. Then place my staff on the boy's face. The boy's mother said to Elisha, uh-uh. As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. I came here for you. I didn't come here for the staff member. I didn't come here for a message. I didn't come here for that dead, dry stick. I came for you, and as long as you're alive and God's alive, I ain't going anywhere. So we got up, followed her. Gehazi went ahead of them and placed the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or sign of life, so he went back to meet Elisha and told him the boy didn't wake up. Didn't happen. When Elisha got to the house, he discovered the boy lying dead on his bed. So he went in, closed the door behind the two of them, and he prayed. Everybody say pray. He prayed. What did he do? He noticed it was lifeless, and he prayed. He noticed the boy was dead, and he prayed. He noticed the promise was dead, and he prayed. Listen to me this morning. When you are facing something that looks like it's over, you need to pray. When you're facing something that is not working out the way you thought it was going to work out, you need to pray. When all of a sudden all your plans aren't coming to fruition, you know what you need to do? You need to pray. Elisha looks at the boy, and he begins to pray. Verse 34, then he went up and lied on the boy, and he put mouth to mouth and eye to eye and hand to hand. While he bent down over him, the boy's flesh became warm. And Elisha got up and went into the house and paced back and forth, and he went up and bent down over him again. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. He's alive. And Elisha called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. And he called her, and she came. Then Elisha said, pick up your son. Pick up your promise. Pick up that which you thought was dead. Pick up that which you thought was over. Pick up that which you thought was lifeless. It is alive again. She came and fell at his feet, bowed to the ground, and she picked up her son, and she walked out the door for the first time holding her promise. The last 2 times she stood at that doorway, the first time there was no promise. The second time the promise is dead and she laid it on the bed. But God is so good that he will bring you back to lifeless, dead places, and he will begin to say, no, this might have looked dead in your eyes, but Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And when you step into the promises of God, I'm telling you, he will have you pick up in areas that you thought looked lifeless and dead, and he will have you carry out life. I want to speak to you for the next few moments on from drained to obtained. God, we thank you so much for your word today. God, I pray that in the next few moments that, God, you would touch every person in this place. God, those that walk through the doors today feeling like they just drug themselves in here. God, those that feel like, man, they're on their last leg and they feel drained. Those that are here today that feel full of life and are ready to go after it, but yet sometime in some place, in some moment in their journey, they're going to encounter this feeling of drained. I pray that you would speak to them today and bring life to each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Anybody ever felt drained before? Right? Just in life or in a circumstance or a situation. Now, one of the worst feelings in the world, right, is when you have your cell phone and you don't have a charger and you look at it and it says 3%, right? Because, I mean, how do you live without a phone? I mean, they did it for hundreds of years, but how do you do it today, right? Like, your whole life is on it. Your audiobooks are on it. I mean, how's my wife going to get a hold of me? Come on, somebody, right? It's just a bad feeling when all of a sudden you get to that place and it's like, oh man, this thing needs to be charged. I'll never forget about a year ago, Pastor Brandon, he's been riding bikes for a couple years. And man, I'm so glad he paved the way for all the men in the church to tell their wives, I need a motorcycle. Come on, somebody. So Pastor Brandon, being the firstborn among many brethren for motorcycle riding, he got a bike. And then one day he had a brilliant idea that changed the face of Canvas Church forever. He said, you know what we need to do? We need to have a motorcycle riding small group. Come on, somebody. Oh, man, where's all my dudes at right now? I mean, you know, and so he just said, I was like, that is brilliant. That is brilliant for a couple of reasons. One, there's some dudes in the church that have bikes. Two, now I can get my wife to let me have a bike. Come on, somebody, right? And so when he started that group, I went to my wife and I'm like, babe, I got to get a bike. And she's like, why? And I said, because of the church. Come on, I need to support small groups, babe. And so I remember one night, man, I've been loved, but she was at a conference somewhere, and she was probably worshiping Jesus. I'm shopping for a bike, and I'm sending her all these pictures of bikes. I'm like, what about this one? And she goes, we'll talk about it when we get home. So she got home. We talked about it. She said yes to the bike, and it's so much better than saying yes to the dress. Come on, somebody. She said yes to the bike, man. And I was so pumped, and I got a good deal on this bike, and I had ridden bikes, you know, when I was younger, like dirt bikes and stuff like that, but I've never owned my own, and so now, man, I got my man card, I got a bike, and I'm ready to do this thing, and I'm so stoked to join the small group, and I'm new to bikes, and so I got a base model, no gas gauge, no gauges other than the speedometer, right? And as long as I had two wheels and it rode, I was good. And so I remember going on our first ride about a year ago, and I don't remember how many of us there were, but we did this crazy ride up to Devil's Canyon. How many know that's a good place for a pastor to visit right there? And so we drove up to Devil's Canyon, man, and we just took pictures. This place is awesome and whatnot. We're coming back. Some of the other guys branched off to go home a different way. So it's just me and Brandon at this point, and they always let the inexperienced riders go in the front so they don't get left behind. So I'm in the front driving, and all of a sudden my bike starts to sputter and stuff, and it's like glitching. I'm like, what in the world? Like, I just bought this thing. This thing can't break down. What's happening right now? And so I thought maybe I just need to throttle it more. Come on, somebody. And so we come to this stoplight, and Brandon pulls up next to me. He goes, hey, is everything okay with your bike? I noticed it kind of, and I was like, no, man, I don't know what's wrong with it. And so we're talking about, he goes, well, maybe it's the carbs. He's like, yeah, maybe it's the carburetors need to be cleaned out, or man, I hope it's not the transmission or the drive shaft or, you know, like the clutch, whatever. You know, it's all these things. And we're literally having this in-depth conversation about all of the things it could be. And so finally we level out. We get going, oh, it's fine. It's riding fine again. We all of a sudden we're coming up to another stoplight, and it's like, I'm like, man, what is wrong with my bike? And so we start talking about it. What could it be? And we get to the second light, and it dies. And I'm like, I'm on my first ride. I look like an idiot now. Like, I am not representing Canvas small groups well or the name of Jesus, I'm sure. I'm like, what? So I literally push my bike off to the side like this, you know, and we get over like, man, what could it be? And I'll just give it a minute, let it rest. We let it rest. We start it back up, and we get to the next light, and it's starting to die again. So I pull off. I'm like, man, and we're talking. We're looking at the bike and talking about what could it be, the carbs, the drive, all this stuff. And all of a sudden, he goes, wait a second. I go, what? And he goes, when's the last time you put gas in it? That's real funny. Laugh at your pastor. Whatever. Can you believe these people? And I'm like, dude. It was like 102 miles ago. He goes, yeah, it probably needs gas. If you reach down there, there's a little lever, and you can turn it to the reserve tank, and then you can go get gas. I'm like, of course there is, right? Like, I was just testing to see if you knew that. We're going to use this as an example in church one day. It's okay. So I flip it to the reserve tank, boom, fires up, boom, I'm off to the gas station, and I put gas in it, and I'm off on my journey. Listen to me. The reason some of us are not able to get to where we're going isn't because of the obstacles in the external, isn't because the doubters, isn't because of the doubt or the discouragement or the things that are coming from the outside. Oftentimes, the reason we cannot make it to our destination is because we stopped filling up on the inside. We have not taken the time to make sure we put some gas in the tank. And listen to me, when you are drained, when you face these moments, and I feel like this morning there's some people in here, you've been going through this series, you've been dealing with the doubters, you've been dealing with the death of something, you've been dealing with disbelief and all this stuff, and yet you continually come in like, no, that's not it, what could it be? I feel like there's some people in here this morning that might just be drained. You might be drained. And here's what happens when you get drained. Our first response is never, maybe it's about what's going on the inside. Maybe it's about what's happening in here. Just like us on that bike, our first response wasn't, oh, you're out of gas. Oh, yeah. We're looking at all the big things. Maybe it's the carburetors. Maybe it's the drive shaft. Maybe it's the clutch. My bike is dying. I just bought it. You know, oftentimes when you get those moments in your life, it's so easy to look at the external. Maybe it's this church I'm at. I mean, maybe they're just not, you know, preaching good enough. Yeah, right. What? I mean, Pastor Brandon tore it up last week. Come on. I mean, maybe it's I don't know, the songs the worship team are writing just aren't touching my heartstrings. Maybe it's the spouse you gave me. Maybe it's the friends you've given me. It's this job. If I had a different job, I could really go after the things of God. But maybe your tank's just empty. Maybe you're drained. Maybe you're drained. But yet here again, in 2 Kings chapter 4, this woman surprises me once again. We've been learning from her for 12 straight weeks. Listen to me, church. I've never spent 12 straight weeks on 29 verses before in my life. But every time I read the passage, all of a sudden God just begins to speak to me something new from this woman who doesn't even have a name in the Bible, simply known as the Shunammite woman. She has now literally overcome death. She has overcome discouragement. She has overcome disappointment. She has overcome doubt. She's overcome from the doubters in her life. Everything's okay. She's overcome the detours in her life. And yet here she is again. She's pushed through all of that. She's got to be at this point of sheer exhaustion as she comes to the man of God and she drops down and she grabs Elisha's feet and she says, I need some help. And yet the staff member comes and tries to push her away. But Elisha says, no, hold on a second, Elisha. Don't push her away. She is in deep distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me. The Lord's hidden it from me. I want you to know something. That oftentimes, God will hide things from the people that can help you in your life to see if you'll push past and go after him. Oftentimes, as you're in this spiritual journey, because here you are, man, I just want to experience Jesus, and man, I want to learn something from Scripture today, but you know, nobody knows what's going on in my life. You know what? Oftentimes, God will hide the things that's happening in your life from people that can help you to see if you will press past them and go after him. Go after him. And here we see this woman teaching us again that we've got to be able to overcome. Listen to me. If you are in her shoes, you are exhausted. Are you kidding me? I didn't want this to start with. You gave it to me. You promised it. I was looking for nothing other than just you to come and inhabit the place I built. And now the thing that I've been living with and obtaining and loving and dreaming, is gone, taken from me. I've had doubters in my life. I've had discouragement in my life. And I'm about at the point where I'm going to throw in the... And here I am. I came for one thing, Elisha. I came for you. I came for you. And I'm not leaving without you. I'm not leaving without you. I'm drained. But I'm not leaving without you. She teaches us how to overcome being drained. Being drained. You know, being drained is a scary place to be. Because when you're drained, it's oftentimes you'll settle for something other than him. Because how could it be I'm here, I'm pressing in, I'm going after, but how is it that these people that I'm doing life with don't know what's going on in my life? How is it that Pastor Ben has no clue? How is it that I was homesick and he didn't call me? Sorry, the gifts of the Spirit weren't flowing that day, and I didn't get a word of knowledge. My bad. I mean, how is it How is it that he doesn't know the pain I'm walking through? Sometimes God will hide things from the people that can help you so that you will go after him rather than the staff member. The staff member comes. Is everything all right? Everything's good. Hey, Gehazi, take my staff and go lay it on the boy. Uh-uh. I'm not settling for the staff. I'm not settling for the staff. I want you and you only. Can I just tell you something today? I'm a staff member in the kingdom of God. I'm not a source. I am not the source. And hopefully you didn't just come to hear a great message today. Hopefully you came to hear from Jesus himself. Hopefully you came to encounter the presence of God. Hopefully you came for him. Listen, all I am is a staff member. My job as a staff member is to point you to Jesus. But oftentimes when we get drained, we begin to settle for the staff. You better come with a good message today. I need something. I need a hit today. We don't sound all that different from the world, do we? So what happens is when you get drained, what happens is you begin to settle for something other than him. But she says, uh-uh. Here's what happens oftentimes. I'm coming for the man of God. But Gehazi will do. When we get drained, we might have started out our pursuit after Jesus. But then all of a sudden, you know what? Oh, this person's interested in what's going on in my life. They're asking me. I'll just open up to them. And what oftentimes happens is that when we are drained, we don't fully understand that maybe God's hiding things from the people in my life that can help me so that I push past them and actually go after the one I really need. And so all of a sudden, we begin to settle for someone that will listen to us. And that will listen to what's going on in our life, and that will make us feel good momentarily, but can never fix the actual root issues that are taking place. Somebody with me today? So what happens is we begin to go after someone that will listen to us. And all of a sudden now what happens is we actually begin to leave the place that he put us in that can actually help us, and we begin to look for something somewhere else. And the other thing is this. The other thing is that oftentimes if that doesn't work, here's what happens. I didn't find it at my church. I went to another church. But you know what? I couldn't find it there either. But you know, nowhere in Scripture do we see the first church of the Shunammite woman. You know what happens is nobody else is buying into what I got going on and helping me out. So you know, I'm just going to go do my own thing. But yet again, she teaches us here, and she doesn't settle for the staff. She doesn't settle for those things. She grabs onto Elisha's feet and says, no, I don't want the staff. I don't want anything else. I came here for you. She says, I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not leaving unless you come with me. She's exhausted, but she's still going after it. Galatians 6:9. That's such a powerful, powerful just verse. From this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, as they're ready to throw in the towel and they're feeling drained and they're feeling tired and they're feeling like giving up in their faith and on other things in life, he says this. He says, so we must not get tired. We must not get drained of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we do not give up. If we don't throw in the towel, just listen to it again. We must not get tired, drained of doing good. What is the word tired? It's the word ekeko in the original text, and it means this, to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out, to be exhausted. Don't be exhausted. Don't be drained. Don't be utterly spiritless of doing good. For we will reap. Listen to it now. We will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. There are many things in life that could come and drain you. But listen to the promise of the word. Don't grow tired. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. It's going to happen. Just don't quit. Listen to this in 1 Peter 5:10. I'm preaching a lot better than you're saying amen. That wasn't a joke. Jeez. 1 Peter 5:10 says, now the God of all grace, you got to hear this, this is so good. Now the God of all grace, who called you by his eternal glory, whose dream is it? It's his dream. Whose plan is it? It's his plan. Called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, listen to it, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. Yeah, someone started a clap and then they read the last part and they're like, you got to get the whole verse before you start clapping, right? Like, yeah, he's going to suffer. A little while? Wait a second. I read another verse that said a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. Is this my little while or your little while? Because if it's my little while, maybe. But if it's your little while, I ain't doing this for no 1,000 years. Sign up for this. What does that mean in the Greek? Little while. Gosh. But listen to it. Now the God of all grace, who called you by his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally. Who's going to strengthen you? He is? Wow. This is so good. Who's going to establish you? He is. Who's going to restore you? He is. Who's going to support you? He is. Don't give up. I know it feels like you're suffering. Don't give up. And the woman teaches us right here in this passage how we can stay charged to avoid being drained. Let me just get, number one, you got to hold on to Jesus. She grabs hold of the man of God's feet. Number two, you got to hold on to the promise. If you do not want to get drained in the journey, if you do not want to get drained in going after the promises of God, you must hold on to Jesus and you must hold on to the promise. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the promise. She wraps herself around Elisha's feet. Gehazi tries to come and push her away, and she's not letting go. And Elisha says, hold on a second. And then she says, did I ask? What did she bring up? The promise. She held on to him and to the promise. If you want to be in a place where you do not get drained, you've got to hold on to Jesus, and you've got to hold on to the promise. How do I hold on to the promise? You hold on to the promise by just bringing it up, just thinking about, reminding God and reminding yourself. Wait a second. No, this is not my idea. This is God's idea. This is his plan. He spoke it. I'm going to do it. All right, I'm going to keep walking it out. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I don't see it yet. I haven't obtained it yet, but I'm going to keep laying hold. I'm going to keep saying, hey, God, remember what you said to me? That was your words, not mine. Hold on to the promise. How do I hold on to Jesus, though? Right? Because, I mean, where is he? I mean, you just said, Pastor, you're just a staff member. You don't want us to hold on to you. Like, what do I need to do? Here's how you hold on to Jesus. Because he ain't physically here, but yet he is. Because the Bible says that the church is a many-membered body. It's the church. We make up the body of Christ. How do I hold on to Jesus? Here's how you hold on to Jesus. It's so simple, and some of you are going to be like, that's not deep enough. I want something deeper. Here's how you hold on to Jesus, through church community. That's how you hold on to Jesus, through the church community, the body of Christ. How do you hold on to Jesus? Through his word. You know why? Because John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, and it's a capital W, was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. You want to hold on to Jesus? Hold on to the Word. That's that easy. It's that easy. Only way you can hold on to the Word is if you win the Word. How do I hold on to Jesus? Through church community, through his Word, through worship, through prayer. I mean, man, prayer is powerful. But you know what? Some of you need to learn the power of worship as well. Some of you need to learn the power of prayer and worship combined. Because there is something supernatural that happens when we begin to combine prayer with worship. See, here's what I believe. I believe this, that we approach his throne of mercy and grace so that we might obtain grace and have it in a time of need. This is what prayer is. Prayer is bringing our request to God, but yet worship is bringing God to our request. Because the Bible says that he abides in the praises, in the worship of his people. And there are some times when you are so drained where you don't even have the energy to get up and begin to say, God, here's what's happening in my life. But listen to me, in those moments, if you don't have the energy to bring your request to God, begin to worship, begin to sing, begin to praise, begin to magnify, and watch God come down to your request. Some of you aren't getting it. Some of you aren't, though. I know you got it. You're about ready to get up out of your seat and dance. Let me bring it home. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, man. One of my favorite passages in all scripture. I know you hear me say that about all the passages, but this one's good. This one's about a guy named Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas are literally pursuing the dream of God. Like, literally. Like, they are out preaching the gospel. They are doing what God's told them to do. And as they're out preaching the gospel and defending the name of Jesus, all of a sudden they encounter this girl that has a demon, the Bible says, and they cast out the demon. And now some people are in an uproar, and they get arrested, and they get thrown in prison. Talk about being drained. Talk about being in a dark moment. In Acts chapter 16, 25, as they sit in the cell, shackled and chained, both their feet and their wrists, behind the bar cell, there they sit about midnight. This wasn't only a dark moment in their life as they sit in prison, it was literally the darkest point of the day. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What? In that place of being drained, in that place of feeling depleted, in that place of feeling hopeless, they said, we got to do something to fill ourselves up. And they begin to pray, and they begin to worship, singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Listen to me. As believers, when you are walking through your darkest moments in life, when you are at the point of despair, at the point of wanting to throw in the towel, at the point of calling it quits, I want you to know something. There is a world on the outside looking in to see if you are going to respond the way a believer says they respond. Listen to me. It is one thing for me to be on top of the world and to preach to you hope and faith and joy. Is it another thing for me to be walking through the valley of the shadow of death and for me to say, I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And there is a world on the outside looking in, wanting to know how you are going to respond. And Paul and Silas are sitting in the darkest moment, the darkest hour. They don't know how they're going to get out, but yet they begin to get filled up. They begin to hold on to Jesus. And Paul, thinking about what he's going to write to the church at Galatia someday, he says, listen to me, I'm not going to get tired of doing good. I am going to not throw in the towel. I'm not going to give up, for I know I'm going to reap in due season. I just don't lose heart. He says, Silas, we need to pray. But you know what? We can't just pray. We need to sing. The prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains came loose. Wow. It wasn't just for them. It was for everybody listening in from the outside. You got to hear me today. You need to keep pursuing the dream of God, because the dream of God is not just about you. It is for all those on the outside that are watching your life to see how you're going to respond in desperate times. And when your chains fall off, somebody else's chains are going to begin to fall off. And much like the story, the jailer is going to run and say, what must we do to be saved? What do we need to do? What needs to happen? Man, there's something so powerful. Our worship, listen to me, music and singing alone begins to change the atmosphere, both on the inside and on the outside. But when you begin to sing about the goodness of God, man, I'm telling you right now, it changes things. Music, you ever watch those movies? Like a scary movie is not scary if you take away the music. It's just weird. Right? Like, why is that person running upstairs and closing the door behind him? Now they have no exit. But they put the music to it. You're like, ah! Right? You're freaking out for him. Music, listen, watch. Check this out. Music changes the atmosphere. Watch this.
I've been really trying, baby.
I'm just going to go here for a minute.
Trying to hold back this feeling for so long.
This is my wife. And, woo, that song came on.
If you feel like I do.
Felt it. Some of you were looking around for your spouse. You're like, where's my lady? Some of you don't even have a lady, and you're sitting next to one. You're like, hey, what's your name, girl? Like, right? It just changed everything. I mean, the atmosphere completely shifted, right? Let me prove it to you again. Check this one out. Right? Come on, how many feel like going to the gym right now, right? Like, come on. Like, I got my 80s shorts on. Come on. Socks up to my knees. I'm going to the gym, right? I'm sitting on that bench right now. About 5 pounds on that bench press bar. Come on. Right? I'm working out, right? Woo! Right? You felt it, right? Like, some of you have never been to the gym before in your life. You're like, I got to go. Where are you going? To the gym? Right? Because the atmosphere just shifted. See, I believe Paul and Silas knew something, and they're sitting in prison, and there they are, and they weren't just singing any song. They're probably singing this song as they sat there desperately crying out to God. No. What's that? Come on, Silas, you know this one? Can we turn that up a little bit? Yeah. That's me dancing. See, somebody, there you go, yeah. Come on, we turn that up a little bit more. I'm feeling that right now. Come on, some hands going like this.
What you gonna do?
You're feeling it, aren't you, right? And I guarantee you, they are sitting in prison at this moment. And as they begin to pray, and as they begin to worship, all of a sudden the atmosphere doesn't change on the outside first. The atmosphere changes on the inside first. They begin to be filled up with hope. They begin to be filled up with promise. And they begin to believe that something is going to transform right before their eyes. Listen to me. Some of you need to catch this today, because some of you right now, you are sitting in a moment of feeling drained. You've been coming for 12 weeks, and we've been addressing different things and giving you different tools, but yet you showed up again, and you're like, man, I don't know. This ain't working for me. The reason it's not working for you is because it's not an external thing. It's an internal thing, and you need to lay hold of Jesus, and you need to stay laying hold of the promise, and you need to fill yourself up with Him. Grabs hold of his feet. Gehazi tries to push her away. She said, I'm not going with your staff member. I came here for you. The Bible says that he gets up and he follows her because she laid hold. He gets there and he closes the door behind himself and he begins to pray. Life comes back into that dead promise. She calls the woman up. Listen to me, God will never leave you hanging. There might be scars in your life, but listen to me, they are just scars. There might be some tests in your life, but every test becomes a testimony when Jesus is involved. There might be some stuff in your life. Listen to what happens. He not only touches the place in her, he touches the memory of what happened. Because the last two times she stood in that threshold, she either didn't have the boy or the boy was dead. And so he says, woman, I'm not only healing the dream, I'm healing you. Because you're going to walk through these moments again, and you're going to have a testimony that you can come back to and say, God not only resurrected the dream, he resurrected my ability to dream again. God, I thank you so much for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, thank you that you are not after the dreams. You're after the hearts of humanity. God, I thank you today that you are not only resurrecting dreams, but God, you are speaking to the place of pain in our life so that we could continue to dream again and again and again and again. Because there will be a day when we are standing in a doorway with the memories of what was and what could have been. But we will remember a God who is faithful, a God who never left us, a God who never forsook us, a God who never let us down, a God that wasn't just after what we could produce and what we could dream, but a God that cared enough about me to say, son, daughter, I'm not just after the dream. It's not just about what's going to flow out of you. It's about you. And I love you enough to take you back to the doorway where there was no dream, back to the doorway where the dream was dead, and say, resurrect, come back to life. There's something for you. Hallelujah. So I thank you that today that you're after the heart. For when there's a good heart, there's good fruit. Do me a favor, church, just stand to your feet. As we not only bring today's message to a close, but we bring this series to a close. Hallelujah. There's some of you here today, whether you're in this building physically or you're watching online right now or you're watching the podcast this week, and you are drained physically, spiritually, and emotionally drained. And you feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like giving up. You feel like giving up on your marriage. You feel like giving up on your kids. You feel like giving up on your business. You feel like giving up on the church. You feel like giving up on your finances. You feel like giving up. You're literally on the verge of giving up on life. And I don't mean suicide, but I feel like I felt in the first service, I feel it here again. There are some of you here today that your giving up has led you to self-destructive behavior. You're sabotaging your own life. You're sabotaging what God has brought to you. And yet today, I believe, would be a wake-up call for you, whether you're here right now, whether you're watching online, or whether you're watching the podcast. I believe that the Spirit of God is speaking to you today. Do not give up. Don't grow weary in doing well. Don't throw in the towel. Don't dismiss it. You're going to reap in due season if you don't give up. So with every eye closed in this place and every head bowed, you're here. You're here. You'd say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and you're speaking to me. Every eye closed, every head bowed, you're drained, and you're here, and you know it. Every eye closed, every head bowed, I want you to shoot your hand in the air so I know who I'm praying for. Come on, right now, all over this place. Don't be shy, all over this place. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You need to hold on to Jesus. You need to hold on to the promise. Lord, right now, I pray for people all across this place right now. God, that I'm speaking to them. I knew this was the word, God, that you had for our church today, and the word for so many that'll be watching it this week. And God would say to you, son, daughter, it ain't over. Continue to dream. Continue to dream. Continue to go after. Lay hold of Jesus. Lay hold of the promise. It's not over. God, I lift up everyone in this room right now that has their hand raised. And Lord, I pray, God, you would speak life to their circumstance. You would speak life to their situation. And God, they would find it, Lord, not in a pastor. Lord, they would find it, Lord God, not just in a moment, but they would find it in your son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And Lord, this would not only be Resurrection Week that we celebrate across the globe. This would be Resurrection Week for many of us that are here today as you begin to raise dreams, as you begin to raise promises, as you begin to raise dreams, as you begin to raise promises. Hallelujah. God, let your kingdom come. God, let your will be done. Hallelujah. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I'm going to be up here for a few moments. Some of the pastors will be up here, and we'd love to pray for you. If you need someone to pray for you, don't walk out this place without it. If you walk out this place, make sure you connect with us this week. Text Good Friday, 858-943-2221. God bless you. See you Easter Sunday. Don't come alone. You need prayer. Come on, we're here for you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.